is in the Bible. And the idea that we really need to consciously resist an idea that does easily creep into people's lives, and especially Christians' lives, if you've been around the church world for a little while, it can be easy to think, well, you know, these are fun songs. What do? You kind of sing some songs. You know, we sing together and the band's good and the singers are cool and Daniel does a bit of a dance, you know, which was really very entertaining. I loved it. Thank you so much. And, you know, but we're not actually just singing songs. We're worshiping and thanking and praising God. And they go together, but they're not exactly the same thing. And every day, every 24 hours, all around the planet, round about 200,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Did you know that? It's time we got with the program over here in the UK. What do you say? I'm ready to lead. Are you ready to come with me? Every day in China, some of them, I don't know the exact statistic, but tens of thousands. It's quite possible that in another 10 years from now, China will be the strongest Christian nation in the world. It's been substantially an underground kind of church, but it is so strong, and people are coming to Christ everywhere. I've been here for 17 years, and God sent me here. I grew up in Australia. A lot of people ask me, well, why would you come to Australia? From Australia, you know, a place like Australia with beaches to this. You know, this is summer. This is, whatever happened to summer? I remember the first month I was here, and I spoke to someone, and I was still kind of a bit fresh and naive, you know, and I said to them, it was a beautiful day. And I said, what a lovely day. And they said to me, won't be like this tomorrow. And that was a real awakening that I was in England. But, you know, here's the thing. I came because God sent me here. God prepared me my whole life to be here. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be in the middle of where God wants me. I want to be with all these people that God is ready to visit and touch and raise up and change. And we are focused right here in Staines. I know some of you come from outside of Staines, which is awesome. Keep coming. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Buy a van. Pick up everybody. Let's do it. Come from Germany. Come from anywhere you want. But we have to focus. We have to have a clear goal. And we have 35,000 people, give or take, right here, about 16,000 households in this greater Staines area, and every one of those people needs to know that God loves them, that He can heal their sicknesses, that He thinks they're awesome, that He thinks they're fantastic, that He's not mad at them, that He sees all their dreams, that He looks at them and says, I can, if you just let me, I'll cause that awesome dream of your life to come to pass, that He's not boring, that He's not old-fashioned, that He's cool, that He's incredible, that He's got so much love that you can't possibly imagine. I'm telling you, God, we were made to live in connection with God. Now, but to experience, my point here, to experience that power, one of the things we've got to do is realize that, you know, certain things, there are just, if you want to drive the car, you know, you can put gasoline, diesel in the engine, but and you could even start the motor. But unless you put your foot down, you ain't going anywhere. And some Christians are like that. You know, they're born again, the engine's idling there, and they've been sitting there parked by the side of the road for 8 years, wondering why their life doesn't seem to progress. You have to decide to progress. You have to do some things. You don't do it to earn your salvation. You receive everything for nothing. But you've got to actually act in order for anything to change. So this message this morning, rather than being message, it's kind of a clarion call to action, to a lifestyle of praise and worship in God that I think we demonstrated heaven is full of. Now, you don't want to get to heaven and be sitting in a corner all quiet as a mouse and see all these people worshiping and praising and thinking, oh, because you know what's going to happen? They'll have angels, maybe me, maybe David Gibbs, who knows? But we don't sit around just doing nothing, you know. You learn in heaven, you get educated in heaven, you grow in heaven, you work in heaven, you have fun in heaven, you swim in heaven, there are birds in heaven. It's very similar to the earth. The major difference is that there's no devil there. So there's no oppression, no sickness, no discouragement, no hurt, no tears, except for tears of joy. It's a brilliant place. And actually what we're supposed to do as a church, as a people of God, is just bring heaven to earth. So that's what we do as much as we can. Every Sunday especially, it's like, let's just let heaven blast out of here till people kind of start to feel like, hey, I really can do it. I really can make it. I really could live a great life. God wants me to achieve great dreams. And so you don't want to get to heaven, you know, because you'll be in a class. And the angels will say, right, so lift your voice. Well, thank you, Lord. No, you're going to have to learn to lift your voice. You're not going to become instantly a different person. You might as well learn it here. Those guys there in heaven, these angels, these elders, these serious players in heaven, they're not silent, they're not quiet. They are raising their voices in praise to God. And we need to see a revelation of who Jesus is and what he's really like, because if he is that awesome, then our hearts and lives expression ought to reflect that. We spoke a little bit about how praise and worship really does exist in the earth, just mostly people point it in the wrong direction. So they'll be praising and worshiping at Reading Festival at the end of this week, when Alt J and you know, the Mumford and Sons and whoever else is on will all be singing, and they'll all be doing this. They'll be singing along, mostly loud, with their hands raised, waving. What are they doing? They're worshiping. And I'm not mad. I'm not going to stand there saying, you evil people, you should be worshiping God. It's our responsibility to lead people. If the world is not coming to Jesus, don't blame them, blame us. Let's live in such a way, like we're doing pretty good. I thought the music was great. But let's go to another level, Toss. Let's get some movies made. You with me? Let's have praise and worship music. Let's just have a night every month where we just put on music, and it doesn't all have to be like, I love worshiping God, but it wouldn't necessarily, every tune doesn't have to be singing about the blood of Jesus necessarily. But just do music that's so good that all the people in Stain say, you know, there's this great music and it's free. And these people are having so much fun and they're not drunk. And they actually will let you in, and they're really friendly. And actually, my sister went in there last week, and she's had a bad back for years, and she came out and she was perfectly well. Why don't we do it? See, we've got it. You got it. Now, we can do that. That's what we're here for. And praise and worship exists. Then you go to a football match. You know, Jordan's got Ghana's colours on today. And, you know, they'll all be very reserved here. We're in church. But when you're at a game, when you're seeing a live match, baby, and there, and your team is about to win and they're about to score, you know what I'm saying? We get excited. We stand up. We start to yell. We start to lift our hands. And generally speaking, we spend a fair bit of decent money for this experience. That's worship, folks, but we should be worshiping the Lord that way. Are you with me? Now, worship exists. Worship is one of the few things that we do in heaven and on earth. There's not a whole lot of things we do. So we don't pray in the same way in heaven as we do on earth. But we do worship God. And I remember I met a gentleman. He's a minister and still ministering today. He's an American guy. And I met him and spent a little time with him because I was the delegated looking after him person when I was a young minister in Australia. And he went to heaven. God took him to heaven when he was 8 years old. He's written a book about it, and he's written numerous books. And I remember talking to him about that and reading the book and those kind of things. And one of the things that was most outstanding about his visit to heaven when he was 8 years old was that the angel that was with him took him into an amphitheater type situation. And everybody was there just to worship Jesus. It was a worship service. And the choir came on the front. They were worshippers, like angels, whatever, dressed. And he said, first, they were very robed and very kind of noble and staid. But after a while, the music started to pick up and they started to jump around like Daniel and get excited. And they did this for about 2 hours, just praising God. And he said, now, as they sung, a yellow vapor type substance came out of their mouths and gathered to the top of this kind of dome, this building. And that happened. And then at the end of the service, the dome opened and all this yellow vapor, which was praise and worship, went up to the throne of God. Went up into, like, in God's nostrils, like we saw a little bit in that reference. See, praise and worship creates a substance. It's just not seen in this world. But it's in the other world that's going on all at the same time right now. It's a real thing, worship, that changes you. And we have discovered some things about the brain. Let me get back to my notes because I'm very inspired. But in Psalm 22, do we have this one up here? I don't know. I don't think we have, actually. But no, I'm coming to that in a minute. Just leave it there, though. That's fine. In Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, "You are holy, you who are enthroned upon," or the New American Standard says, "You inhabit the praises of Israel." God inhabits his praise. God lives in. When we praise, it creates an atmosphere that God comes and dwells in. It's a secret to power. Now, I wanted to, we talked last week about this astounding story of Jehoshaphat, and I'm not going to retell that story, where he sent worshippers out in front of the army. All the heavy military men were all out the front, and then God spoke to him and the choir. Patricia, Ayinde, and Lucille all went out in front of the heavy artillery and began to sing praise to God. It's a true story. It's in 2 Chronicles 20. And they won a great victory. A great victory. They destroyed, the enemy destroyed them, each other, and God's people ended up, even though they were outnumbered, they ended up winning the battle, not losing one life, and taking 3 days to clean up all the spoils that were there. It's an incredible story. You have to get last week's CD or download for that. But let's have a look at this. I want you to see Jesus here interpreting Scripture. You ready for this? Are you ready? So Jesus quotes the Old Testament, and I want you to see it. Psalm 8 verse 2 says this, "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained strength." Everyone say, ordained strength. "Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." Now, there's the versions that use that term, and then the NIV and today's NIV use established a stronghold instead. From the lips of children and infants, you have established a stronghold or ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy. Now, Jesus in Matthew 21 is walking along, and he says this, "Yes," replied Jesus, "have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes," or children and infants, it's a different version, but it's the same passage, "you have prepared praise for yourself." If you look into every concordance, they will all say that Jesus is referring to that passage, because that's the only passage that speaks like that. So what Jesus is saying is, he's really misquoting, technically, but what he's saying is, prepared praise is the same as ordained strength. The Old Testament said ordained strength. Jesus turns around and says, let me interpret that for you in a new light. It's prepared praise. Praise from your lips becomes strength in your life. And notice it says this, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So you've got an enemy, and it's not your wife. And it's not the children that you gave birth to either. And it's not actually any human person. You've got an enemy, a devil, a Satan, who loved to try and destroy your life, but he can't do much unless you let him. You've got victory over him. Jesus won that battle already. But just like if you want to drive the car forward, you're going to have to deliberately put your foot on the gas, even though that, if you've been idling for 8 years, let me tell you, that's going to feel weird. I'm moving. Should I be moving? Am I going to hit something? But actually, that's what God designed you for. And it's the same with praise and worship. If we have not developed a lifestyle, if we have not caught the Spirit, if we have reserved our praise and worship for what this world does, which is worshiping music or worshiping sports or worshiping or whatever and all that stuff, if we've done that and not put our worship towards God, and that and for years we've done it that way, then to start to put our foot on the gas and open our mouth and start to declare praise to God and thanks to God is going to feel weird. Is this what everybody does? Well, it's certainly what they do in heaven. And it's what we do around here because it's going to bring change to your life. A lot of times people have spent too much time praying and not enough time praising and thanking. See, praying is right, praying is important, but there comes a point where you're going to have to believe that God has answered your prayers. Amen. And you flip over from requesting into thanking. Because why wouldn't he do what he promised to do? And it's a journey, it's a walk, you know, faith, giants of the faith that you might have heard of, like Smith Wigglesworth, he used to say things like, well, if you pray for something more than once, then you didn't have any faith. He just prayed for it once and that was it. Well, he was a man well advanced in faith, and to read his books are very inspiring. But that is not necessarily the true in every case for people. But what you have to do is you have to press through to a point where you're going to start thanking God for what he's done instead of asking him to do something. Because if you keep asking him to do what he promised to do already, then he's going to sit there at some point and say, do you actually believe what I said? And he won't be mad at you. He's just trying to encourage you. It's just like a parent having a Christmas tree full of lovely gifts for the children. And you say to your child, that one's for you. And it's beyond their wildest dreams. But they just sit there and look at it. I mean, for hours. What's wrong, don't you? I just can't really believe it's for me. And until you get to the place where you believe it's for you, you'll never enjoy it. Even though Father God has already provided it. It just sits there. You've got to learn to thank him for what he's given you. Thanks is important. So in your own prayer life, in your own prayer experience. So for me, for instance, sometimes I'm praying about certain things, but oftentimes I'm just thanking God. Sometimes I just kick in thanking God. Because I pray for our church, and certain prayers that I pray for our church and our life and our leadership, our team, every day. And sometimes I'll just come into the presence of God and I'm walking along wherever I'm in the house, or I might be down at the golf track or wherever I am, somewhere down there. And I just say, thank you, God, for granting our church the spirit, that the power to grasp how much you love every one of them. And I'm thanking him because I know that's what he's doing. And because that's what his promise is. Do you see? So there's an intercourse, there's a relationship between God and people in that regard. So Jesus interprets power, ordained power, to silence the enemy as perfected, one version says, or prepared praise. I remember the story of a Chinese missionary many years ago, an American lady who was a missionary in China, who had been diagnosed with smallpox. And this is a true story. I remember it was an Assemblies of God minister that told the story years ago, and had gone to America as a missionary, and to China as a missionary, but she was an American lady, and she got smallpox. And in those days, you died from smallpox. There wasn't any, this is the last century, there wasn't any cure for it. But she got on to, and she's in the hospital and she's dying. But she wants to serve God. She got on to this truth. And I don't actually remember exactly whether she'd read something or what had happened. But she clicked on to the fact that she was dying. There was nothing going to change. And so she decided she'd actually put this into practice and began to thank God. So she started to walk around the hospital praising God and thanking God out loud. And of course, some of the other patients were not particularly happy about that. But when you're on your deathbed and there's nothing else to do, she just wasn't going to be silenced. And she continued to praise. Well, if you've ever done this, what happens after not very long is that God inhabits the praises of his people and you start to sense his presence at work in your life. Have you ever done that? You just start, things change, but you've got to put your heart into it. And so she began to do this. She did this not just for an hour, but for 2 hours. She went through the dinner time meal and she continued to praise God and thank God and worship God out loud for her healing, which he had promised, even though she was dying and she couldn't see anything. She went all through the night this way, much to the consternation of the rest of the hospital. She did it for 24 hours. And 24 hours later, every sign and symptom of her smallpox was completely gone. Hallelujah. And she continued to serve God. You see, sometimes, some of us are feeling here, facing oppression, facing situations, and some of what I'm saying stirs us up a little, but it needs to, because we need to get to a place where we get out of our comfort zone and actually start to do what God has commanded us to do. And praise and worship is just a magnificent way, because his presence fills the place, but it's a magnificent way of releasing power. Satan is the one that's harassing you. But he doesn't have authority. He can't possess you, but he can oppress you. You ever been oppressed by dark spirits and negativity, fear, those things? Praise and worship. You want to clear him out of the scene. Now, he's not omnipresent. He's a fallen angel. He was an angel, but he's not everywhere at all times. And he's a real enemy. He's the biggest difference between here on earth and heaven. But he's not omnipresent. And one of the best ways to get rid of him bothering your life is just to begin to praise God. Esther Benson, just to begin to thank him and praise him. Because he doesn't like to hear that. And he's a real personality. And he really does have little demonic imps, little that come and suggest. He can't overtake you, but he can suggest ideas to you. Start to tell you that it's not going to happen. Start to tell you that, you know, your father died of this at 55. And his father died of us at 55, and tomorrow you turn 55, and you start to get all nervous, and you start to get all worried. Suggestion. The devil doesn't have any power, but if you will allow fear. Now, to clear that stuff out, you just begin to praise God, because he doesn't want to hear that. And he is a real entity. So you just say, well, thank God, and he won't like that. And you say, well, praise God anyway. And then you find a scripture like, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. There's a fairly good verse for you. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Everyone say, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. I mean, and you just talk like that, and you start to praise God. And the devil that's bothering you is not going to stay very long. He'll try and stay, but at the end of the day, he doesn't want to hear that. He's working for somebody else that disagrees completely with that. And after a while, he will just clear off and he'll go and find somebody else to bother. And you could get all very concerned and merciful filled and think, oh, what about the poor other person that he's going to bother? No, no, no. Why don't you get strong and you get victorious and you bring that sense of praise and victory everywhere you go, which is the second half of that verse. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph and brings an aroma of his presence through us everywhere we go. So it's a lifestyle that we need to embrace. Great is the Lord. Some people may say, well, it's irrational just to start praising God. You know what's irrational? Fear is irrational. Believing that you are not going to live a great life, that's ridiculous. That's what he'll try and sell you, though. But it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, just for you to be conceived, where's the biologist amongst us? How many billion? Million? Billion to one. You know, there was a whole... You're with me here, aren't you? Everyone's mature enough here, aren't we? I mean, there were millions in the race to reach that egg and create you, and you won. Millions to one. You are a winner from the beginning. You were designed to win. And you've got to get that real strong in your heart. And I know I'm kind of pushing it a little bit, but it's important, because that's what God designed you for. And I know, you know, I might ruffle you out of your comfort zone a little bit, but that's what a good minister will do. And when you get to the other side
And you start saying, wow, my life is actually working better. Wow, I'm not sick like I used to be. Wow, I can now go and get a job. Wow, I actually got into the universe. Wow, I'm actually finding a purpose. My God, he answered my prayer. Then you start to say, well, thank God for the pastor. He didn't give up on me. You've got to hear the truth. All right, I want to show you one other verse here about the will of God for your life. How many like to know something about the will of God? Because I can tell you about it right here. Look at that. See, some people want to, well, what's God's will for my life? Let me tell you, in figuring out God's will, don't get too deep. But start here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in every good thing give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God? Rejoice always. Everyone say rejoice always. I mean, just have a laugh. Just get happy for a moment here, would you? Would you just try and... Pray without ceasing. Obviously, that doesn't mean that you don't go to work and you don't sleep. It's talking about an attitude of heart, of prayerfulness, connection with God. And in everything, give thanks. Amen. In everything. How can you give thanks in everything? Some things happen that are just terrible. Has anyone ever been through some terrible things? We could have a testimony here of, you know, the terrible things I've suffered in life. I suspect I'll be near the front of the queue. But I'm not doing that because the scripture didn't say that. It said rejoice always. You see, things happen to your life, but they're not the pattern for your life. Stuff that tries to get in the way, stuff that damages you, stuff that's stolen from you, health that was taken away, a parent that was taken away, a spouse, a betrayal, things that go wrong that hurt you, finances that get stolen off you, or you make bad decisions about things, you come under the influence of something you didn't want. Things happen in life. But the challenge is to never lose the vision that God has built you for victory and greatness and excitement and a positive life. Those things were the exception that proved the rule. Can you hear me today? You have to change your thinking and no longer focus on my pain or my tragedy or my heartbreak. You have to decide I'm going to focus on what God said about me and what God believes about me. Because that is what's going to determine your life. Listen to me, people. There are people that were in much worse circumstances than you have ever been in. And they turned out to live brilliant lives. How many heard of Helen Keller? Anybody? There's a life. Nearly everyone here will know her if you don't read something about her. Deaf, dumb, blind. But she impacted the world. When they spoke to her about it, and I've got audio of her trying to speak, and you can barely understand it. She had an interpreter. She had someone that helped her all her life. Can't see, never. Can't hear, can't speak. She's got touch and smell and taste. And this is not like in today's, with today's educational and medical and whatever. This is earlier last century. And when they talked to her about how does it feel to not be able to see, and she said, it's all right not being able to see. It's not having a vision that kills you. See, you can be in any state or condition of your life, and you have the power to turn your life into something magnificent. That's what we're here for. That's what we're cheering for. And praise and worship is important to that. But here's this, look, rejoice always. God wouldn't ask you to do something that was not possible to do. Would he? I mean, if God said rejoice always and it was just not possible, so you can't always rejoice. Well, that would make him pretty capricious, dishonest, not a kind God. But God has got more love than we know anything about. If he said we can do it, then we can do it. We just haven't discovered how to do it yet. And what the traditional kind of Christian perspective, perhaps a little evangelical, might think is they get down on themselves. Oh, I'm supposed to rejoice and I'm just not rejoicing. Don't have that attitude. You just haven't discovered how to do it yet. That's all. You know, it's like having a child and learning to ride a bike and they've got their trainer wheels. And you want them, you know, to get off the trainer wheels and onto the normal wheels on the bike. And so you experiment and you take them off and you give it a go and the child falls over. And you say, oh, gee, you're hopeless. You're just never... You know, a really cruel parent would do that. And in our minds, and this is what I'm working with, in our thinking, most of us, most Christians that I know, see God as a very cruel kind of a person. That if they fall short or they didn't rejoice enough or they didn't pray enough, then he's kind of mad at him. He's just a bit, there's a bit of a... He's not like that at all. All you got to do is realize, hey, we've got some stuff to learn. And I'm learning every day. And I hope you're learning every day. One of the greatest things you can learn is this, that you can rejoice all the time. But it's a decision. And you can give thanks in everything. Because here's the awesome promise of God. Doesn't matter what is going on, God works everything together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I went through this, you know, a number of years ago. I went through a stage where I was very sick and really ill. And when you read those, you know, you read those things of you know, what causes stress in people's lives, like marital breakdown, breakdown with family relationships, loss of job, financial pressure. And I think I had the top five out of the top five, you know. And I was really, I mean, I couldn't function well. I was in church, I was leading the church, just, and I'd come and I'd preach, and then I'd go home, and I couldn't work, I couldn't get out of bed, I couldn't drive, I just had worship music on, and I'd just lie there like almost comatose. And I really didn't think I would make it, but we prayed, and I've got a great wife and some friends, and my sister is a great prayer for me. But I remember at that time, when I was praying, you know, when I'm preparing to talk to people, and I would pray beforehand, and there's so much oppression. I just felt it was horrible. It just feels black. And usually praying in the Spirit helps me. They're one of the two things that help me the most, is praying in the Spirit or praising God. And I would encourage you to do a lot of both. Just tap the person next to you and say, that means you. Yeah. Do a lot of those. Just do a lot. Just put your foot on the gas. Start doing it. Hallelujah, praise God. Oh, I'm moving. And I remember being in this room where we prayed at the time. We had a room, an office in Twickenham. And I'm feeling just terrible. And I began to praise God because I knew that. And I'm just thanking God. And as I'm praising God like this, I just did praise God. I didn't feel like it at all. Rejoice always. But praise God. Thank God. And I remember just after a few minutes, the presence of God like a cloak began to come down. I could feel it come down. And as it got to here, then my mind would start to clear. And I couldn't get it much further. I wanted to be just totally coated in it, you know. But I was very tired. I was just exhausted all the time. And then I'd stop and then it would start to, and my mind would go all unclear and I couldn't think straight. And I just praise God. I'm telling you that it brings the presence of God. But you see, you've got to learn to do some things when you don't feel like it. Just pinch yourself. If you've never realized it, if you only ever live by how you feel, you're never going to get far in this life. Christian or not. I feel like I'm still in love with them. They died 20 years ago. You can spend the rest of your life mourning. Or you can accept that that was tough. You can rejoice anyway because God's got something better for you. You can give thanks because you know that he's at work within you all the time. Are you with me? And these things happen. Real life happens. No one's denying that it happens and no one's mad at you. But we have to learn to do this praising and worshiping God. Let me say this to you. If you want the will of God for your life, some people, they're very well, I think God wants to lead me this way and that. The best way to understand the will of God is to do what's written first. Amen. And then let him speak to you personally. Some people want to hear from God, well, he's leading me this way, you know, and he's leading me that. And I believe in the leading of God. But if you're not putting into practice what the scripture told you to put into practice, then I wouldn't have too much faith in the sign of sense of leading that you have, because the word of God is what comes first. That's what we build on. So let's be a people that are always giving thanks. What do you say? I've got one more thought I want to share with you and then we're done. Have a look at this last one. This is really going to help you. There's a slab of scripture up there. And then we're going to sing a song and close. So we'll get the band up in just a minute or two. Maybe if Grace is there, you could come up now and just begin to pray something. But have a look at this passage here. It's longish, but you might know it. Be very careful then how you live. Now, there's a good word. Careful how you live. Why? Because your life is incredibly important. So take good care of it. Don't be unwise, but be wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, here's the will of God again. Yeah, you just come and just pray. What are we going to do? We're going to do like 10,000 reasons or something like that. So just, yeah, start to play that. I can tell it's your favourite song straight away. Yeah. And we love it though, don't we? We love it. Yeah. Just send love. Just send love. Here it is. Understand what the Lord's will is. Here it is, folks. Don't get drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Did you know that when you're filled with the Spirit, it's a lot like being drunk on wine? Have you ever seen people in meetings like that? Now, we've had lots of meetings like that. Where, or beer, wine, beer, whatever. Alcoholically, intoxicated. And you can see it because in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, remember that? Acts chapter 1 and then Acts chapter 2, verse 4, I think the Holy Spirit is poured out. And there's these tongues, these supernatural manifestations. And everybody comes in town. There's at least 15 different nations. There was a feast on. There's all these nations, they come and they see these 120 people in this upper room. And they are, whatever they're doing, they're acting drunk. Because at 9 o'clock in the morning, Peter stands up and he says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. They look drunk. They're acting drunk, but it's 9 o'clock in the morning." This is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you see. You're supposed to live. It's the same. Our world gets intoxicated, and I understand that they do. But really, if the church was a little more intoxicated, we might attract people to following Jesus rather than having to find a chemical substitute for something that works even better here. Are you with me? Amen. Now, I've been in lots of meetings where people are rolling around all over the floor. I was leading a Bible college and we had Rodney Howard Brown come over, who you might have heard of, who was one of the men that God used at the kind of forefront of that particular move of God in the mid-90s. And we shut down the Bible college for a week. I mean, no work got done. It was, you know, people were rolling around the floor, falling in the aisles, laughing everywhere, just all day. And they're great seasons. You can't live your whole life like that. But they're great seasons. But here's the thing, you see, when you're filled with the Spirit, something else overtakes you. And notice this last little bit, and I'm ending here. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another or speaking to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs or songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music and melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. The singing of hymns and giving of thanks and being filled with the Spirit are like counterpart pieces. The more filled with God's Spirit you are, and remember that the most essential, simple way to live a great Christian life is just get filled with God. That you don't have to know a lot, whole more theology than that. That's the simplest way. Just let His presence flood you. And that's what Paul prays just in a couple of verses, a couple of chapters before. But notice this, the more filled you are with God's Spirit, the more you will sing praises and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And the more you make melody in your heart to the Lord and sing praises, the more filled you'll get. It's like priming the pump that starts the flow. And the power of God that God wants to visit your life is totally available to you, but you have to prime the pump. I don't know if you've ever had days like that. Maybe you've been in a great Sunday service like today, or just something great has happened in your life, or and you're at home with the vacuum cleaner and you're just... Nothing is impossible. Forgotten the words. Who gives me? And then you're at the dishes, you know. Lachlan and I sometimes doing the dishes together. And Carrie usually does, but I try and let her off because she cooks as well. She's pretty amazing. And I'm doing pretty well considering how well I'm getting fed here. I have to exercise just to, you know. And you're doing the dishes and you're just there. I will worship you 10,000. And you just, your heart, the fuller you are of God, the more that flows out. And that's a healthy place to be. And if you don't feel like doing it much, then prime the pump. Just start praising. Just do it dry. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've done it 100 times more. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm leading people. You know, when you lead people, you're the guy that go first. You know what I'm saying? You, it doesn't matter if nobody else is doing it. You got to do it. You're the leader. I've done it thousands of times. Come on, people. We're going to praise God. But I'm telling you, lead yourself. Become a worshiper of God. You'll be catching up. The angels in heaven will start to join. So we're going to do that. We're going to play a song together. We're going to finish right now with this. If we can get the band up. We're going to sing this. It's a very simple song called 10,000 Reasons. And in 5 minutes, we're going to go and get our kids.